Is about buying the Korban Pesach. So we're still in the middle of the sugyas in the second parak of Kedushin, looking for various sources of shlichus. And the Gemara at this stage wants to know how you know shlichus for kadshim. We already dealt with shlichus for gittin and shlichus for truma. Now the Gemara wants to know what's the source of shlichus for kadshim. And the Gemara brings the pasuk, as it says, "Vayikhu lachem ish sele beis avos." Sele beis avos. So what do we mean by Yikku Lehem Ish Selebais, the base of us? So Rashi says, Echa Lokeach L'chol HaMishpacha. One person, typically the Chabura was a family. It could be larger than the family. It could be part of the family, but typically it was a family. And one individual, let's say the father went out, he took the money and on behalf of the entire Mishpacha, and he bought one sheep for the entire family. And since it says, luckily they all bought, but in fact only one of them bought, but since one bought, we view it as if each of them did that purchase, and that's where we see shlichas in the world of kachim, because they're buying an animal for the Karban Pesach. So this is the source for shlichas in the world of karbanos. So Tosfos Rosh asks the question. I don't understand. When you go ahead and buy a sheep, you get a sheep from anywhere you want. You go to the local marketplace, they're selling some sheep and goats. Right? A Karban Pesach could come from either a sheep or a goat, either one. And you buy from the store, and it's a regular chulin animal. I take money. I take, I'm not sure how much a sheep is. I'm going to guess $300 for a sheep. Sounds right. Okay, $300, you go to the marketplace, you buy yourself a sheep, and that's it. It's chulin. It's not until I say, Zeh Karban Pesach, is there kachim? At that stage in the process, it's only a chulin. So Tosfos Rosh wants to know, how does it serve as a model that there is shlichus in the world of kachim? That's what Tosfos Rosh asks. So Tosfos Rosh gives a couple of answers. One answer, he says, is a very technical answer. This is the second answer. He says, you're right. It's really a source for chulin. It's, when you buy the animal, it's a regular mundane animal. But since we already have a source that shlichus works in the world of chulin, so there's no need for a second source of that same concept. So therefore, by default, we're going to apply it to the world of kachim. Even though it's not talking about kachim, it's a chulin animal. It's no other, we can't do anything else with it because we don't need it for chulin. So therefore, we're going to plug it into the world of kachim.
Could you bring another example of shlichus from some other example of kachim?
You, you in th-
particular situation?
In theory, you can, but the Gemara couldn't find any other source that we have.
Do you know of any other situation?
In that the psukim say that one person represents others, there's no other pasuk in the world of kachim. So therefore, we're stuck with that. That's one answer of the Tosfos Rosh. And the other answer he says is that, you're right, initially when you buy that animal, it's really chulin. I go to the local marketplace, I buy myself a sheep. Now, that initial purchase, it was chulin. Now, the halacha is, I'm able to change that guest list, take people off, add people on, up until the shechita of the Karban Pesach. So if I buy, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and I shech the Yud Dalet Nisan, I've got 14 days, I could continue to change that guest list. But if you want to join my chavur, you're going to have to pay me $10 for your lamb chops. $20 for your lamb chops. So you're going to give me some money. So now, some point between Aleph Nisan and Yud Dalet Nisan, I'm going to say, Zeh Karban Pesach. This is a kachim animal. So that could take place on, let's say, Yud Nisan. So now, I could still change who's on the guest list from Yud Nisan until Yud Dalet Nisan. Until it gets shechted, I'm able to change a guest list. So there's going to be some point in time between the Lekicha and the Shechita where there's going to be Kadosh, wherever you want to move that Hekdesh point, and there's still going to be a time frame between Hekdesh and Shechita where I could change that guest list. I could add and subtract to that Lekicha. So even though the initial Lekicha was Chulin, there's going to be some other point where in theory that Lekicha is going to be changed when it's Kadosh. So therefore there is the Shaychus of Lekicha when the animal is still the Torah's Hekdesh. And it does serve as a model.
When does it become kadosh? When you make a declaration?
When I make a declaration, that's when it becomes kadosh.
You
have yeah.
You have to make a declaration when you buy it, not make a declaration then, so you still have your time.
Exactly. That's what Hillel, we see later on, Hillel says he was very careful. He taught everyone, don't make it hekdesh till you bring it into the azara. Because if you have it at home, the sheep, and something happens to it, and you get hana from it, you ride the sheep, and you're getting some hana, that's going to be an iser me'ila. So he was very careful to teach people, don't make it hekdesh mamish until you shecht it. So in that case, there's only a few seconds where you can really change the guest list. But in theory, he's saying the Pasuk's talking about all scenarios that you could change a guest list even after it's already kadosh. So shlichus does apply in the world of kachim.
What do you say about changing the guest list? You can change it or you can't change
you
it?
Can,
once you
can, but
declare it.
You cannot. You can change it until you shecht it. You can. You are able to. Fine. So I want to suggest a third answer as to why this pasuk v'yichul hem se ish selabayis, even though you're buying a chulin animal, it could still serve as a model to the world of kedushin. A different answer, a third suggestion, and that's the following. First, I sent you guys a little bit all over Shas for a few different models that we have. I'm not going to go through all them, where we see that there's a significance of lekicha in the world of kedushin. So, for example, I mentioned the Mishnah in Yuma, the Shnei Seirim. When you buy the two goats that are shechted, one thrown off the cliff, one shechted to be brought to sprinkle the blood. So the Mishnah says that they have to be identical. Identical in what way? So they have to be identical in terms of the appearance. They have to be identical in terms of the height, regards to the damim, the value, and the lakicha, and they have to be purchased at the same time. So we see that lakicha, that purchase is of significance. So too, just like it's a significance with regards to the two goats, so too you could think of the buying of a Karban Pesach is of significance. But the problem is, Tosfos Yesharim says, when you buy the Shnei Seirim, it's on behalf of the entire tzibur. And the money that's used is, they use money from Hektesh. Each year, each of us would give machetz a shekel. That machetz a shekel would go to the funds. It would be Hektesh money. So when they go ahead and buy the two goats, that Hektesh's money is buying, so that animal automatically, immediately becomes Hektesh. So that's not a good model, because when the Karban Pesach, I'm using money out of my own pocket. That's chulin money. When I buy the animal, it's also chulin. The ma'aseh lekicha of the Karban Pesach is still considered a chulin animal. So you can't use the Shnei Seirim, the two goats, as a model for Karban Pesach.
So we can bring chulin to link to Hashem, but we can't bring hektesh.
Well, so that's right. That's what we're pointing out. So still, right now, Karban Pesach is only buying chulin, so we're back to square one. If it's buying a chulin animal, how does that serve as a model for kedushin? Right. So there's another example about buying different kinim, different karbanos, but I want to ignore that for now. I put that in brackets. Another example for those who want to look into it, another area where we see that the lakicha, the purchase, is significant.
One second. You just said a second ago that when you're buying, you're using hegdish money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there any chance that when people are giving you money for a holy thing, it's hegdish money?
No, it's all chulin. It's all chulin. That's what we find in the Gemara. Just look at the Gemara inside number 7. Number 7, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that Samech Vav Amr Beis, this is page number 2, says, Ditanya Amru Alav Al Hillel. They said about Hillel, Miyamav of his days, Lomal Adam Baolaso. No person ever violated Mi'ila in his days. Why? Because he taught Ela Mevia Chulin Lazara Makdisha Visomech Yado Allah Vishokhta. Because he taught people should buy Chulin. So that by definition means Hektesh money was not used when they bought the animals. Rather, Chulin money was used. Because if Hektesh money is used to buy an animal, it means the animal is automatically going to be Hektesh. So in his days, all animals, all karbanos yachid, whether it be an ola, whether it be a shlamim, whether it be a pesach, whatever karban we're talking about, it was all chulin money was used, and it wasn't kadosh until right before they shechted it in the azara. So right now,
what David has also the same problem: if you're buying something for the purpose of the sacrifice of that,
still it's not going to be kadosh, even though I buy it for that purpose. If I'm not makdish it, I'm not using money of hektesh, it's going to be chulin until I actually declare this animal being a hektesh.
But
right now we're talking about a chulin animal.
It
doesn't work. Unless you're using hektesh money or you're makdish it, it's not going to be kadosh, it's going to be chulin. So again, right now I buy an animal, a chulin animal, that's going to be used for my Karban Pesach, but still at this stage it's still chulin. So when I buy it on behalf of my entire chabura, how could that, so I'm a shliach, I'm buying it for my entire family. And when I buy it, the pasuk says it's like all of you bought it. It's shlichus. But still, Tosfos Rashi says, when I buy it, it's still only a chulin animal. How does that serve as a model for the world of kedushin? So let's look at the Mishnah you guys should be familiar with, those who say Eizah Makomim in the morning. So look at number 8. The Mishnah tells us, just reading the bold in number 8, the Mishnah Psach and Zvachim Daf Nun Vav Amar Beis tells us some halachas about the Karban Pesach. HaPesach Einu Nechal Ela Belayla. We know that Pesach is only eaten at nighttime, the night at Leil Tesvav of Nisan. Veinu nechal ela ad chatzos. Machlok is how far we can eat it. This Mishnah assumes until chatzos. Another opinion assumes until the morning. And einu nechal ela lemenuyav. It's also only eaten by those who are menuyav counted. part of that guest list. There's an iser for someone who's not part of the guest list to eat. We're going to see next week's sugya, just to continue with Karban Pesach, the next stage in the Gemara here, about a katan. A katan's allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach even though he's not counted, even though he's not on the guest list. So he's the one exception that a katan can eat, even though he's not menuyav. But other than that, every adult needs to be part of the guest list to eat. And also, eino nechal elatzli, we have to roast the Karban Pesach. It cannot be cooked in water. It has to be roasted. It can't be eaten raw. So this is the basic halachas of Karban Pesach. So Rashi says this halacha about eino nechal elamnuyav, it can only be eaten by those who are counted, says Rashi, shem nimnu bidmei lekichaso kidichsiv lefi achlo tachosu, that they're counted with the money. I mean, you can't just be my guests. You need to pay to be my guests. There's an admission fee to be part of my Karban Pesach here. It says Rashi, "Bidmei l'kichasa." You have to pay money to be part of this guest list. Yeah. What's the significance of paying to be? I can't invite my guests over. Next time you invite a guest over, you have to pay to eat in my house. Certainly not. We find the similar thing by Hanukkah as well. If a guest is staying at my house, so we have, he has to give a pruta to me. A pruta, one or two pennies, a quarter, a nickel. He gives me a little money to be mitshtatef bepruta, to have a little bit of the bilis of the oil. So here too as well, says Rashi, to be part of my guest list, you need to have demei l'kichas, you need to put money in to be part of this Karban Pesach. You need to pay for it. It's an expensive item. So, when you're giving me money, you're just handing me money, that would be some level of maos konos. There's machlokes in between Reish Lakish and Yochanan, whether davar Torah maos or konos. We paskin maos or konos, that derais, if you give money over, it's a good acquisition. But Rabbi Yochanan says, because of other concerns, gzeira, we require mashiach. What's the concern? So let's say you give money, I sell you, I don't know, a new suit in my factory. You pay me the $300 for the suit, and great, the suit's yours. Now what happens is, I'm sorry, my factory burnt down. Too bad, you lose your suit. So because of that concern, Rabbi Yochanan said that it's not going to be finalized until I hand you, until there's a mashiach done on the suit. But on a deraisa level, davar Torah maos konos. It's actually a good story about the Rugachever. The Rugachever wrote the Sefer Tzafnas Paneach, very appropriate for this week's Parsha. Tzafnas Paneach, that was his name. That was the name of the Sefer. So the Rugachever, he wrote the Sefer. The way it was, he used to send out some copies to the local yeshivas. Hopefully they'll be interested. And the Bachram would so he sent out a sample to one yeshiva and they were interested in buying the Sefer. So Tzafnas Paneach, Kedarko, he wrote very terse. He wrote Ayin, the Gemara here, Ayin Rashi, Ayin Tosus. It didn't elaborate. It wasn't a whole long thing. He just, look here, just a bunch of Mara Makomos. Like what we have in the beginning without writing them out. Just look at the Tosus, look at the Mishnah, look at the Gemara. They didn't know what he was talking about here. So finally they said, we don't understand this correspondence. Explain it to us. So finally he said, Dover Torah Mos Konos. If you want the Svarm, you need to pay for the Svarm. You need Mos Konos. That's how you get the Torah. So anyways, so we paskin Dover Torah Maos or Konos. So yeah, by you giving money, you have a chelik, you have bilis, you have ownership in the Karban Pesach. Okay, so what's the relevance to us? So Briskarov says as follows. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that talks about if I have a Karban Toda. Karban Toda, person brings when he has certain thanks he wants to give to Hashem. He went over a desert, over water, a Yoledis, a woman who gave birth. He was sick and he was healed. He came out of jail. So he brings a Karban Toda. And as part of the Karban Toda, how many loaves of bread are brought? Anyone know?
40.
40 loaves of bread are brought, along with a Karban Toda. The significance of the 40 bread, there's a famous Netziv that says that the Karban Toda is eaten in one day. That's it. So how am I possibly able to eat 40 loaves of bread in one day? So Elamai, the idea is to invite all the neighbors over to partake in this Sudas Hodah, like we have nowadays. A person makes a Sudas Hodah, they invite all their friends and their guests and family to share in the tremendous Hodah to Hashem. So I have a Karban Todah. It's an animal walking around. Already he's designated as my Karban Todah. I didn't shecht it just yet. And it goes ahead and damages your animal. So that it gores your animal. So the halach is, an animal on the first three offenses paid only half the damage, chatzi nezek. And chatzi nezek, the halacha is that it collects megufo. The money comes from the animal itself. So my toda, my carbon toda, which damaged your animal, you as the nizak, at the damage, are able to take money from this animal. It's megufo. So when we sell the animal, let's say in a regular case, we sell the animal, so half the proceeds go to you and the other half goes to me. You only get half of the damage. So in the case of the carbon toda, so now my animal caused damage to your animal. So you own half of this animal, but it's a carbon. So what do? So after we bring it to the base of Mikdash and they shecht it, so then the meat that's eaten, half the meat goes to you, half the meat goes to me. Or it could be that maybe all the meat that goes to you, let's say the value, not all the animal is eaten. So let's say the animal's worth $300. So a lot of the animal gets burnt. So it's, I don't know how exactly, but assume for now, the $150 of the animal gets burnt, and $150 of the animal gets eaten. So he gets $150 eaten because half it goes to him. He's zochet to half of that. Fine. So carbon, so the Gemara says that he gets to eat the basar, but me as the owner of the animal, though, I'm the one who's bringing a kapara. I'm the one who needs to bring the carbon toda. I'm responsible for bringing the bread, though. I need to bring the bread. Because the bringing of the bread, the 40 loaves, goes based on the one who's being miskaper, me, the one who brings the carbon. But the one who eats it is the one who got damaged, the nizak. So what's the point of all this? So Brisker Rav says, we see you could separate the bailis, the owner of the animal, from the one who's getting kapara. I'm getting kapara, but he eats the meat. He owns the meat. So we see that it's such a distinction. That's in the world of carbon toda. That's in the world of all of carbonos. You don't have to have the same person getting kapara as the one who owns the animal.
But they won't get kapara still owning the part that are being burnt.
It's a very good question. That's what Avi was talking about yesterday. You and Avi were talking, discussing yesterday. So the Chazon Ish doesn't like this raya. Right. Chazon Ish also says that the one who gets to eat the meat doesn't even get it until after it's been shechted. But at this point, this stage, prior to being shechted, there is no ownership right now. It's not until so, but it's, that's a very good question. Let's ignore that for now. But in the world of the Brisker Rav, you could divorce the bailis, the ownership, the monetary ownership, from the kapara. Those two aspects can be separate. But then the Brisker Rav says in the world of Karban Pesach is very different. The world of Karban Pesach, based on this Rashi, Rashi and Zvachim, if you want to be part of my Karban Pesach, you need to pay me $20. You need to buy into my Karban Pesach. Says the Brisker Rav that bailis is a prerequisite to getting kapara, fulfilling your obligation of Karban Pesach. You need to put the two together. Bailis, the ownership of the Karban Pesach, and the bringing the Karban Pesach must come together. For you to get your fulfillment of the Karban Pesach, you must own a part of this Karban Pesach. You have to connect the two. So what do you bring? So that's what we come out of this Karban Pesach. And what do you come out from this Brisker Rav? So I think what we could say with this Brisker Rav now, we could explain the initial answer, give another answer for the Tosfos Rush. Tosfos Rush wanted to know, how could you use this buying of the Karban Pesach as a model for Kachim? When I buy the Karban Pesach, it's a regular chulin animal. I could go to any place that sells sheep. I could go to the shuk and buy a sheep. It's a chulin animal. I use chulin money. So how is that a model that Shlichus works for all of Kachim? At this stage, it's only chulin. But if you say like the Brisker Rav, that when you buy this animal, it's a prerequisite, it's a chana for Hektesh. It's leading me into that Hektesh. Even though it's not Hektesh yet, it's still in that world of Hektesh because it's building me up. I have the chelik now, the Karban Pesach, to now allow me to fulfill my chiv later on. Even though it's not Hektesh just yet, it's a prerequisite to fulfilling that obligation. Then you could explain, even for the Tosfos Rush, why it's considered a good shlichus for the world of Kachim. Because again, when I'm buying the animal, this Karban Pesach, even though it's chulin right now, it's a regular sheep right now, it serves as a prerequisite. It's a requirement. I need to own it, bailis, uniquely, in the world of Karban Pesach, to fulfill my obligation of Karban Pesach. So therefore, again, even though it's not actually Kachim, it's still a prerequisite for something in the world of Kachim. Yeah, Rab.
And being that it's a prerequisite for Kachim.
Yeah.
I thought only, it's a perfect time with Hanukkah, that you had to, if you had to do it, sell something just to have and light a candle. I didn't know.
Let's not sell Hanukkah now. We'll talk about Hanukkah. Yeah,
but I didn't know you had to actually give money.
Right, but well, that's not, it's
Pesach,
right.
And that was an obligation, other than you had
correct.
To eat
yeah,
from
so there's a new thing. You have to own it. That's the chiddush we're learning. You have to own the Karban Pesach.
So if you're a poor person,
you have to have
Pesach,
a,
you have to sell something.
You have to, yeah.
Part of the
yeah.
Never heard that ruling before.
He says it's a prerequisite. I mean, it seems like jump to a conclusion that the initial question is why can we learn one subject from another subject? One's Hekdesh, one's Kodesh. And now you're saying because it's a prerequisite for it and it can't be done without it, we're bridging the gap, we're done?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a hachana. It's a hachana for fulfilling the carbon pasach. We have an idea that hachana, hech mitzvah, the Gemara says, is ki mitzvah dami. Even though it's not the actual mitzvah, it's still considered an extension of the mitzvah. You're already building in.
That you just gave to get here.
This is the carbon pesach that you have to own. You have to own the carbon pesach in order to fulfill the obligation of the carbon pesach.
It was that long briska rav.
Yeah, exactly.
Gave us the idea. What did we learn from the briska rav?
You have to own the carbon pesach in order to fulfill the obligation. So you have to buy into the carbon pesach. So I need to own it. I need to have bailus in that carbon pesach to fulfill the chiyuv. That's a prerequisite. If I don't have the ownership, if I don't have any bailus, any shutvis, I do not fulfill my obligation of Karban Pesach.
No, we knew that. That was from the Briska Rav.
That's the Briska Rav, yeah. That's the Briska Rav, yeah. Okay, so now, yeah.
So I thought when we were learning that from the Briska Rav, he's kind of separating Karban Pesach. Now that you come from the other, he's saying Karban Pesach is different because you have to have some ownership through money as opposed to this carbon todo, which we said was separate. So then how are we saying that now all of a sudden we're taking carbon pesach and we're saying this bridges the gap to everything else? He's saying it's such a local thing and you can't learn it. So
we're not learning carbon pesach that buying other carbonos is considered a shlichas. That's not what we're learning. We're learning that shlichas works in the world of kachim. For buying a carbon pesach is considered a kachim already for carbon pesach.
Right.
So just like shlichus works for the world of kachim, of karm pesach, that even though that particular example of buying a karm pesach doesn't apply anywhere else, but shlichus works in the realm of kachim, so too, now shlichus could work in other arenas of kachim, even though it's not about buying a karm todah, it's going to be about shechting a karm todah, but we still see shlichus works in that rubric of kachim, yeah.
But it's a unique situation, so we don't have any other pesukim coming out about shlichus for kachim.
Well, that's the idea. Whenever we're looking for a source, it serves as a binyan av. Once we have a precedence that it works in this area, this arena, we could extend it to other examples. So once shlichus works in the world of kachim, so karm pesach as the example, that's whenever we find any source. Just like chuma. We said shlichus works for chuma. We don't say, oh, only works for chuma, nowhere else. No, once we find that it works in chuma, it could work in any other area of chulin. And gittin the same thing. So we don't say it only exists where we apply it. But that context is only regarding truma, though. How do we have the ability to expand it beyond that? And shlichus for gittin also. We only add in the world of gittin. But that's how these things work. Unless you have a reason to distinguish between, that's what the Gemara says. Well, gittin works because it's chulin, but truma works. Truma is a different type of category. So you have to have reasons to distinguish. But once we had gittin worked, we said it works in all the arenas of chulin. And truma works in all similar things to truma. So once we have a model in Karim Pesach, it'd say it works in all areas of Kachim. So that's the suggestion as to how, again, Karim Pesach, even though when you buy the sheep, it's only a chulin animal, since it's a prerequisite to fulfilling the Karim Pesach, it's already in the realm to Hechsher Mitzvah, to fulfilling your obligation of Kachim, it could therefore serve as a model for Kachim as well. Now I wanted to bring a few other sources here. I know we only have a few minutes left, but Karim Pesach, there's a whole spectrum of kachim. There's a high-level kachim and there's a low-level kachim. So, for example, there's something called kachay kachim, which are high-level kachim, and there's something called kachay kalim. The kachay kachim is something like an ola. An ola, everything gets kule kalul. A kule kalul means it gets vayachulu, wiped up, all burnt, no one eats from it. That's a kachay kachim, it's a high-level. And chatas, which gets eaten partially by the mizbeach, partially by the kohen. Then there's a shlamim, which everybody gets to eat, which is kachim kalim. It's a low level whereby the mizbech eats a little bit, the kohen eats a little bit, and the baal gets to eat a little bit. That's kachay kalim. It's a low level. There's some level of ownership that I have. I eat from it. And it goes down the whole line. So I want to prove, based on the last few sources, that Karban Pesach is the lowest on the totem pole of this hierarchy. That's the most chulin that we have of all them. So firstly, the fact that you need to own it, to have some level of bailus, which we just proved, indicates it's a low level. As opposed to the other ones, my ownership is completely divorced from the aspect of the kudshim aspect. But Karban Pesach already starts to merge the two of the ownership to the kapara aspect. So I'm going to hopefully bring you just the last few riyas here, and we'll stop here, how Karban Pesach has some element, more of an element of chulin. Even though it's a really world of karbanos, it does have a very strong emphasis on the chulin aspect. And that's the first.
Help us or hurt us? That's going to help
It's going to build this mehalach, build along the mehalach.
It's going to hurt us and say it's not even that holy, so therefore it can't...
No, it's definitely kachim. It's just lower on the spectrum. It's definitely in the world of kachim.
Fine.
But of that spectrum, it's towards the chulin aspect as opposed to the kachim kachim.
What does that get us? Now that it's not
the fact that you're buying, the fact that you have to buy into it,
right?
The fact that you buy into it shows that it's more of a chulin, more a mundane carbon. So that's the idea.
But what does that get us now that we know it's a mundane carbon?
No, we're just furthering this this approach that it's more of a mundane. We prove that it's more of a mundane carbon. I bring further proof that this is more of a mundane carbon. So let's go through the rise. Look at number 12 now, page number 4. The number 12, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Pesachim Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, the Mishnah says as follows. Chamisha dvarim barn betuma, veinan nechalim betuma. There are five karbanos that are brought, even though the people, the tzibur might be tuma, you could still bring the carbon, but no one's allowed to eat from these karbanos when they're tame. The examples are karban omer, shtei alechem, lechem apanim, zivchei shalmei tzibur, v'sirei rashei chadashim. Again, these five karbanos are brought betuma, but they're not eaten. As opposed to a Pesach sheba betuma, Nechal Batuma. Not only can the carbon Pesach be brought while the tzibur is betame, but it's also even eaten betuma. Shelo ba mitchilasa el lachila. The whole goal of carbon Pesach is to eat the carbon Pesach, which of course is a mundane activity. That's the whole goal. It's all about achila. Okay, so we see that the goal is for achila, which is more of a mundane idea, as opposed to all the other karbanos mentioned in the Mishnah. The shtei lechem, the carbon tzibur, omer is a carbon tzibur, lechem, but they're all carbon tzibur, so no, I don't think they would categorize this as kachim kalam. But even if they were kachim kalam, that this is still a lower level, this is more of a achila focused. So then look at the next Gemara, number 13. Teda, bring your proof. The Gemara says, Sharei amru onen tovel v'ochel. There's a halacha that an onen, midaraisa, an onen is not allowed to eat karbanos. The person whose relative died, so he doesn't do mitzvahs, he also doesn't eat kachim. So even though he cannot eat kachim, he is allowed to eat karban pesach. So we see something unique about the karban pesach. So look what Tosas explains here, number 14. Tosas says, Nira lefarish kevin de ikr pesach lo ba. The whole point of Karban Pesach is to be eaten. So as we saw in the Mishnah, Ki detnan Pesachim ein vavam and beis, Pesach haba betuma, necha betuma, shi kara lo ba el lachila. The whole point of Karban Pesach is to be eaten. Hilkach, therefore, lo chashinim beilaninas bizman hakrava, ela bizman achila. So what's going on here? So Tosa says that even an onen in some instances should not eat the Karban Pesach. So when is the onen taking place? So he says, when it comes to other karbanos, if the onen is an onen, shas hakrava, when you shech the animal and you makrev it, so then he doesn't eat the karban pesach even later on. It all goes based on shas hakrava for the karban. If he's an onen b'shas hakrava, he doesn't eat it. Even though the karban could be eaten for the next 2 days, let's say, once he was an onen b'shas hakrava, he cannot partake in this karban. As opposed to karban pesach, we don't look at the shas hakrava, we look at his status b'shas achila. So if he was an onen b'shas hakrava of the Karban Pesach, that doesn't disqualify him. If he's not going to be, by later that evening, if he will no longer be an onen, if he's going to be a regular avel, by Lila, he would be allowed to eat it. If, however, he was an onen b'shas achila of the Karban Pesach, ein hachanami, he wouldn't eat the Karban Pesach. But we see from here, what point does the aninus p'tur kick in? So other karbanos aninus p'tur kicks in b'shas hakrava. Because all the other karbanos, the focus is the hakrava, to the base of Migdash. When it comes to Karban Pesach, the focus is achila. So we want to know, what's his status b'shas achila later on? I don't care his status hakrava. Hakrava is just, it's irrelevant. What's his status b'shas achila? Is he an onen at that time? Then he doesn't eat. But if he's not an onen anymore, even though he was an onen b'shas hakrava, he would be allowed to eat the Karban Pesach, because again, Karban Pesach is focused on the achila, the eating, the mundane aspect, the mundane aspect of the Karban Pesach. That's the idea of Karban Pesach being focused on the mundane.
Not as an onen, but as a person who touches a dead body, he can still eat from the Karban Pesach?
That's a whole other topic about tumah right now. We're going to ignore that right now.
Tumah didn't affect this.
That's a whole different discussion.
How did you bring up achila before you said the moment was shkita?
Only for other karbanos. But Karban Pesach is unique. The focus is, this man is achila. Karban Pesach is focused on achila. Every other kachem is focused on hakrava. Okay.
Hakrava is the
acquiring. Shechita. No, hakrava is shechita. Hakrava is shechita, yeah. Hakrava is a shechita and putting on the mizbeach.
Oh.
Let's go to one last raya here. Number 15. Rambam says in Hilchos Psulei Mekdashim, he says, HaPesach sheshachtu b'machsheva shinoi Hashem. If you shecht the karbon and you have the incorrect machsheva, sheshina shmo l'shem zevach acher. So I'm bringing, let's say, a chadlis, and I think of it being an ola. Or I'm bringing an olam thing of being a chatas. I changed some type of machshava. So the loch is bein sheshneim l'shem chulin. L'shem zevach acher. Bein sheshneim l'shem chulin pasul. Shenemar v'martim zevach pesach hu l'shem. So he says, when it comes to regular kachim, if I think of an olam and I switch to a chatas, or I think of a chatas, I switch to an olam, it's going to be pasul. If I switch from a chatas and I think about it being a chulin, even though it's really a chatas, that chulin machshava will not disqualify a regular kachim. But if I'm bringing a carbon Pesach and I have in mind the chulin, then it will disqualify the carbon Pesach. So again, in general, you cannot have a bad machshava. So anytime I think of a carbon and I think of a different type of carbon, that certainly disqualifies the carbon. So chatas think of an ola think of a chatas, that disqualifies it. But the question here the Rambam is dealing with, if I'm thinking of a chulin, I'm shechting the animal, thinking it's a regular animal, a regular sheep, a chulin animal, will that disqualify this carbon? So the Rambam is mechalik. If it comes to a carbon Pesach, and I think of it being a chulin animal, that will disqualify that carbon Pesach. If I'm bringing a chatas, or an ola, or shlamim, some other animal, I think of it, this is a chulin animal I'm thinking, that will not disqualify the carbon. Sounds very counterintuitive. Why would that be?
It's too similar.
Too similar. So that's what Or Sameach says this answer. Or Sameach says, when you're thinking of a chatas and an ola, chulin is so off the mark. A regular animal, I'm thinking of an ola, a kachim kachim. Thinking of a chatas, real karbanos, chulin is so off the radar, it's like me thinking of the circus. It has no bearing on the carbon, nothing to do with this at all. But if I'm thinking of the world of carbon Pesach, which is much lower down in this world, it's about achila, the whole goal is me eating it. It's more of a chulin type of carbon, even though it's really kachim, but on that spectrum, it's the lowest one, it's more of a chulin. I think of chulin, that's the similar realm, so then, since they're so similar, that will impact the quality and the kashrus of this carbon. Why, again? Because since the Karban Pesach is the lowest on the spectrum, it's all about the focus is on the achila. It's all about that mundane, that chulin aspect of the kachim. Therefore, since chulin is in that same realm, that machshav of chulin will disqualify the kashrus of this carbon Pesach.
The rabbi told me this whole story about how it is chulin before I shecht it. So how could I be thinking it's not chulin before I shecht it?
No, listen. When I buy the animal, it's chulin. Right. At some point, I'm makdish it.
Correct.
Now it's a kadosh animal.
So now we're between makdish and active.
And now I'm about to shecht it. I'm thinking it's a chulin animal for the Karban Pesach, even though it's not really a chulin animal anymore.
Because you declared it?
Karban Pesach.
Because you declared it.
So now it's a Karban Pesach, which I'm shechting. I'm thinking incorrectly that it's a chulin. I made a mistake. That will disqualify my Karban Pesach. But since those two are so similar in the spectrum, it's chulin, Karban Pesach, Shlomim, Chatas, Ola, that's the whole hierarchy here. But since Karban Pesach is so similar to Chulin, that's why it will disqualify. But to think of Chulin when I'm doing a cut to a Chatas or a Chulin to an Ola, those are so distant from each other, that does not have any effect. That bad Machsheva will have no effect on this Karban. That it's counterintuitive. But that's the Chiddush. But you see from this Or Sameach, this whole idea that Karban Pesach is more mundane than the other Karbanos. So that would explain also why this Brisker of again. But Brisker Rav says that the Karban Pesach is the only Karban, based on a Pasuk, that you have to have ownership to. Because since it's so mundane, it's such a chulin type of Karban, you need to have ownership for it as a prerequisite for fulfilling your obligation. And therefore, this answers our initial question. Again, the question of Tosas Rush was, when I go ahead and buy a Karban Pesach on behalf of my whole family, the Pasuk says, V'lakhu, I bought it, not you. How come it's saying the family bought it? I'm the one who bought the animal, not you. So we learn from here that shlichus, that when I buy it, it's as if each of you bought it as well. It's shlichus. Ah, but Tosfos Rashi says, isn't it a chulin animal? When I buy the animal, it's a sheep, it's a regular sheep at the time. So we see, since again, the chulin, since buying Karban Pesach, it's a prerequisite to own it, because Karban Pesach is very much focused on the bilis and the mundane and the chulin. Therefore, even at that stage already, even though it's chulin, it's already considered in that realm of kachim, and therefore does serve as a model of shlichus for all other karbanos.
When you say it's in the realm of
kachim? Kachim, exactly.
Kachim.
Kachim Kalim, exactly. So just for next week, what we're going to be doing, we're going to go a few more lines down. The Gemara is discussing about a katan being a part of the Karban Pesach. So there's a whole discussion here that the Tosos points out here, small Tosos, based on a pasuk of Sela Beis Avos, that the katan is allowed to partake in the Karban Pesach, even though he may not have ownership. So that's going to be next week's discussion. All right.